Hello, and welcome to episode 29 of Address Unknown, where we will discuss our time in our second South American country, Chile.
All right, and yes, as Farber said, we are going to be talking about our time in Chile during this episode. And Farber, really quick, temperature check, because it has been a while. We've
been slipping a little bit.
We're pretty late with this episode, but, you know, there's a number of reasons for this, right? Like, we've been super busy. We've also been a number of places and countries that have had horrible Wi-Fi, no Wi-Fi, and no power a lot of the time. So
we'll get into that in episode 30, probably. But yes,
I don't know which one. There Maybe was not 30, but yeah.
There was a sequence of time in which we had power for but less than half the day.
Yeah. So we'll get into that later. But I feel like we have valid excuses for this episode being a little bit late. But anyway, how are things? How are you feeling? I know myself, I feel like I said this before, but now that we're back in the Americas, kind of making our way north towards the States, I'm starting to freak out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the end is near. And I say that, and it's still five,
the
6 months
away.
It's five, 6 months away.
Yeah.
We have some plans in the works, but yeah, it's the downhill of the trip at this point in time. And I think being in South America, and as most of the listeners know, we are weeks behind at this point, meaning we've been here a lot longer. And we've found there is a consistent lack of, I don't want to say reliability, but things don't always work in South America. In fact, nowhere else on our trip have things not worked so much as they don't work in South America.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you could say India doesn't work all that great either.
One country. Yes, that's true. That's another one.
There's been places where it's a little bit more of a lackadaisical attitude, I think, because we've been in bigger cities, more developed cities, cities that you think of as being international cities. You just think that they're going to function at a higher level than they actually do.
Maybe that's it, is that we thought that going to something with America in the title, meaning South America, that things would function more
like the States.
More like the States. And we thought your proximity to the United States and Mexico is so close, so therefore you will have things that you would expect. And, you know, trains will run on time, or things will be open on a consistent basis. And that's not so much the case. And I think that's representative of where we are in the podcast right now, is that things have not been dependable, i.e. Wi-Fi, power, and our trip planning. And that's kind of why we're...
So you're pissed.
You're disappointed. I had an image in my mind of how things were going to work, and they have skewed off that track.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about Chile.
Okay. Let's get into it. After a quick 45-minute flight over the Andes from Mendoza, Argentina, to Santiago, we then had a five-hour layover because we were hopping on yet another flight going north to the Atacama Desert. This was a long trip there.
It was a very long
day. It was a killer.
Yeah. It was just a lot of killing time, because again, there wasn't a lot of flights offered, right? And like the times, I think there was one earlier flight, but we were like, if we're delayed even at all, we're going to miss that connecting flight. So the only option was to have this 5 hour layover.
Right, right. And not to sidetrack here, but people had told us this as well. South America, as far as it relates to getting from point A to point B, is not Asia, it is not Eastern Europe, it's not Western Europe, sure as shit. It's hard to get places, and it takes a lot longer than we ever anticipated.
Well, you either have to drive, which takes a really long time, or a bus, which takes even longer, or you fly. There's no trains, right? That's not available. So yeah, you're limited in your options, especially when it comes down to how much time you want to spend in transit.
Speaking of, back to our arrival in Chile. So lucky for us, on this layover for 5 hours that we had, we could drop our bags and go to the club. And we've talked about the lounges or the clubs in previous episodes. And I just want to say, again, I was not into this idea. I didn't like the idea of paying an annual fee for an American Express credit card to get us into these clubs. However, we spent in this
5 hours.
In this case alone, we spent 5 hours, and we have spent several hours when our flights were delayed mm-hmm. or canceled or mm-hmm. changed mm-hmm. in these clubs. And
so would you say it's worth it now?
I would say it's certainly worth the it's expensive.
It is.
It's like $800.
No.
A year?
I think it's, I'd have to double check. It has gone up in recently. Let me double check.
But
I'll look
give
right
it,
now.
But give it, and given the idea that it does cost a lot of money.
I think it's $650.
You are still in an airport for hours and you need to eat. You get free beverages, alcohol and non-alcoholic. But you get a place that's like free Wi-Fi, isolated from the stress of the airport. And I know this is really bougie sounding, but we've used these clubs almost every major city and even small towns.
Yeah,
so
I think it's worth it. It makes the card worth it. If you're traveling a lot, it's totally worth it. In fact, on a recent trip, which we'll talk about at a later date, but Farber and I were not together, and Farber was very upset that he could not get into the lounge because I was not with him.
So it's Jonica's account, all right? Let's just be honest. And I had asked if she could send me the QR code in a photo to use so that
they
I could...
They won't let you. That's not how it works.
They are very strict.
They are.
So in this particular lounge, while we had our layover here in Santiago, it wasn't fabulous. You know what? There were, and I say this because there was not so much food. Jonica could eat nothing because it was all bread-based food.
I think I got some peanuts.
And, you know,
there was spaghetti. Remember, there was spaghetti and there were sandwiches and it was all bread. It was all gluten.
Yeah. But they had self-service bar, like a bar.
Yeah.
So we were happy about that. They had Wi-Fi. And they had a place to hang out. So, you know what? After the 5 hours, we arrived 2 hours later on our flight in the Atacama Desert in the town of Calama. Our driver was waiting for us to take us now another hour from the Calama airport to San Pedro, which is the town we would be staying in. I just want to paint a brief picture here for the listener so that they can understand. When we met our driver, super happy. We get in the pickup truck. We're on our way to San Pedro. The sun is going down, and this is like it's a desert. And
it's the driest place on the planet.
It isn't rain. There isn't rain for like 100 years in some places.
Yeah.
So, as I said, the sun is going down. We realize very quickly, the both of us, we are really, really far away from everything. I mean, you're in the Atacama Desert, and then you're driving an hour from even the airport that's in the Atacama Desert.
But it was beautiful.
It's wide, wide open space. You cannot see the end of it, and then it just gets blurry.
There was like a big wind farm, which was super cool. And like you said, the sun was setting along the dunes, and it's like the movie Dune.
When we arrived at our hotel, it was now pitch black dark. It was probably 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like that. We were starving. And so we grabbed a ride into town because luckily this was like a family run hotel and they would drive you in the 10 minutes drive to town.
Great. Just drop you off. It was like when you were in high school and you'd be like, Mom, I want to go to the mall. Mom would drive you to the mall and drop you off. And then you'd call from the payphone and be like, I'm ready to be picked up. And she'd come pick you up. That's exactly how this worked.
Yeah. And again, I just want to paint a picture here for listeners. This was a family operation. So it was their son's car one time. And then it was the pickup truck another time. These were not like a Marriott Bonvoy shuttle van.
No. It was incredible, though.
The town of San Pedro itself is small.
Lord.
It's walkable. There are no paved roads. It is all dirt roads. It's very hippie mountain town vibe. But
you could like smell the patchouli as you got closer to town.
You got to remember, you're in the desert. So a lot of musicians, a lot of fire throwers, some backpackers, and then like the one-off sort of like retiree tourists who were there to take like the early sunrise photos of the mountain landscapes.
It was basically the retirees and us who had never been to Burning Man. That's it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The majority of these people had attended Burning Man at one point in the past
20
years.
And they might have just stayed there until the next one happened.
It's a mixed bag. To explore the desert outside of town, we rented a very small mid-size SUV. It's a Suzuki Jimny. And these are similar to visual, if anybody from certainly anybody born 80s or more recently is familiar with a Geo Tracker or an Isuzu Sidekick. Both of these vehicles are no longer in production in the United States due to safety standards that they've failed during testing.
I wanted a Geo Tracker so bad. That was my dream car. Because I feel like Barbie had one or something similar, but I was really excited to get the Jimmy because we'd been seeing them all over. And I'm like, these aren't in the United States, and this is the closest I'm going to get to making my Geo Tracker dream come true.
As most people know, Jonica drives because my poor driving track record in history has some accidents in it. So I navigate.
You're better at navigating, yeah, too, than I am.
Sadly for Jonica, and the navigator should have seen this, but the Atacama Desert roads are atrocious, meaning there are potholes everywhere that are not a standard blacktop pothole. These are like 6 foot long,
They're the size of the Jimmy. Yeah. Literally, like if I would have hit one of these, you would have just like, boom, like just gone in and Jimmy would have broke. You'd have been stuck for God knows how long. Broken Jimmy, for sure.
And also to just make matters worse, the Jimmy drives like a go-kart. It has no suspension, not enough to handle these roads, to say the least. So aside from having to shift from one side of the road to the other to avoid all of the obstacles, the view from the passenger seat was quite beautiful in the desert.
I couldn't look at anything but the road because you glance up for 1 second and there is a pothole. The road has been washed out. Nothing. Terrifying as a driver.
But for those who were in the passenger seat, visually lots of space, small mountains, dunes, but not a single plant, flower, tree, some cactus.
It depends, I guess, as you're like weaving through the mountains, right? Like there will be parts where there are some cactuses and wild brushes. I don't know. There's not a lot. It's not like there's trees, right?
Oddly enough, though, we did come across one lake that had several, I would say, 50 to 100 pink flamingos in it. They were getting refuge from the hot sun. We also saw a group of alpaca cruising.
Many of them. They like to run across the road right in front of your car. It's another thing in addition to the potholes.
Along the route, we picked up our first hitchhiker, who was a Ukrainian woman in her early 20s. And she'd been living in Santiago for the past 5 years. She was extremely talkative. She had some pretty interesting stories. And I will say, for having never picked up a hitchhiker, we're pretty lucky that she was pleasant, well, yeah, innocent, nice enough for conversation.
Well, we were like, okay, there's this single girl on the side of the road with green hair. I think we're going to be okay. And she was so stoked to stop at the Flamingo Lake and take pictures. And not long after the Flamingo Lake, we dropped her off in some weird little town. And there she went.
Never saw her again.
No, that's not true. We saw her at the airport, remember?
We avoided her at the airport because we thought it'd be uncomfortable.
But we did see her.
The purpose of our trip today was to go out to the desert to see El Tatillo, which is a famed grouping of geysers that are located at an elevation of 14,500 feet, giving them the record for the highest geothermal field in the world. They're also the largest in the Southern Hemisphere. These are not as renowned as the geothermal fields that people know of from Yellowstone. We're thinking like Old Faithful here. This is not what that is, but they're still very interesting. They have great colors. They billow smoke out. They have bubbling, gurgling water.
Yeah, it was really cool. It didn't smell nearly
as bad.
There
was no sulfur, yeah,
as I thought it would, but it was hard. I mean, being that at that high of elevation, like just walking around was a challenge. We both often got kind of lightheaded and dizzy, so it's not like you're hiking around. There's little paths around the geysers and stuff, but you can definitely get a lot closer to them than they would ever let you in the United States. That's for sure.
There was no authority. And like there was some sort of guided barrier which you could walk around, but there was no...
It's just rocks on the ground.
Yeah, there was no park ranger or anybody doing anything. Yeah. We returned to San Pedro de Atacama that evening for what was actually a very nice dinner.
Yeah, that was a great dinner.
Before retiring to sleep. The next day, we decided that we would make a very similar trip. There's sort of one road that goes out into the Atacama. And this purpose was to experience the hot springs, which are located in Puritama. While driving along the main road, which we discussed earlier, you get cut off on this exit. And you go into this large ravine where there's a natural river flowing at the base of the valley.
The hot springs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here, there are these natural springs. So it is warm at the top, and then it cools down in different pools as you cascade down. You can go into them, each one of them, depending upon what temperatures you're looking for.
Yeah. The closer you are to the actual geyser, the hotter the water is. So they kind of slowly decrease in temperature as you go down.
Right. And to be clear, these are natural hot springs, which means there's sandy, rocky bottoms. There's large grasses that line the edges of these pools. This is not, you know, concrete and tile flooring.
But the water is crystal clear. Like, it is very, very clear. It's very clean. It's stunning. Yeah, you're surrounded by all this very luscious green grass. It was beautiful. And it's all natural. Like, they didn't plant the grasses there. That's just how it grows.
Right, right.
I'd say we
both felt healed by the natural spring.
I think so.
We finished out the afternoon at the Valle de Luna, or the Valley of the Moon, which receives its name because of the geography, which is similar to the crescent of a moon when seen from high above, like a plane window or, you know, perhaps a satellite. You can't see this when you're there. It's so large of a space and so vast, you cannot see that the whole thing is really shaped sort of like a crescent. There are huge valleys, there are huge sand dunes, salt flats, there's even salt caves that are now abandoned and where the previous mining companies have left their equipment to rust, so it has this eerie sort of mining town vibe to it, but it's in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Sitting outside some of these salt caves, you can actually hear the ground move as the temperature changes. It like sort of pops and cracks as you're standing there looking down this deep, dark hole of a salt mine.
That was crazy. That was a really crazy experience that you're like, you can actually hear the earth moving. And you know, and you learn about in science that like the earth is always moving, the tectonic plates are always moving, but to actually be able to hear it, that was wild.
It's ghostly. As Jonica mentioned, it is the driest place on the earth. It's also no surprise that NASA actually once used this exact desert terrain to test out their first prototypes for the Mars rover. So like, it's like a different planet. It really feels like a different planet.
It was cool. We hiked up a huge dune and stood on the dune and looked at all the dunes. It is. You feel like you're on another planet for sure.
We were super lucky. We were some of the few visitors that attended the park that day.
Yeah, it was nice.
This was also likely attributed to the temperatures, as usual.
It was very hot.
Very, very, very hot. 100 or above.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens when you're in the desert and the driest place on the planet. All right. So after our time in the desert, we then took a flight back to Santiago, caught a bus an hour and a half long to the coastal city of Valparaiso. This is a cute town, right? Like, it's not very big. It's not very small. It's kind of like just this perfect, classic little port town.
It's so bohemian and fun.
Yeah. It's historic. It has amazing street art. It has this edge, obviously, as most of these port towns do. So you always kind of got to be on the lookout, right?
Valpo's fucking dangerous. Don't anybody tell you otherwise. It is a sketchy, dangerous town.
So, of course, like, so we get into town. I don't even remember what we did that night. We went to dinner, I think, and that was kind of it. I think we walked to dinner because it was still light out.
And close by. Yeah, we weren't going far. We were told in advance by several people.
Be careful.
Do not go out late at night.
Venture. Yeah. So anyway, our first full day there, of course, we took a walking tour. Our guide was great, local, taught us a lot about the different neighborhoods that are situated. There's a ton of hills that actually pour down into the port. And so we learned all about the different names of the hills. We actually took one of the working binoculars. There's binoculars that used to be all over that would bring people down from the town up into the hills. I think there's only six that are left
in operation. Yeah, there's like 20 some now. There's only six.
Yeah, so we took one of them up. I think it was the oldest one. It was very rickety, but we were okay. We made it. But it was also super cool to learn about the different hills, how they got their names and what they were used for. For example, one of the hills was the Brothel Hill, right? Which where you would go and see your ladies of the night. And then the hill right next to it was the hill with all the churches. So, you know,
you after go repent.
You, yeah, after you sinned Of course, you would need to go ask for forgiveness and pray. And so the funny thing was, though, is, as Mark said, you know, we'd heard that this was a sketchy town, that we needed to be careful. But more than once on this tour, our guide told us not to go into certain areas that we were walking around during the evening, like after dark. He literally said, my mom said no. My mom said, no, don't go. And we're just like, oh my God, never have we had a guide actually tell us how dangerous their city is after dark.
Repeatedly.
And I will say, when we started the tour, we started at the statue. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And there
yes.
was blood and Coke baggies all over the ground.
So we started in a very sketchy place. That's
Mark
true.
Was like, do you think this is paint or blood? I was like, are you joking? This is blood. There's no question. So we went to dinner, though, right by there that night.
It was, I think, this where the tour began was somewhat of an area of vagabonds and drifters by night. By day, it was operational. There was businesses. But the evidence that you just described was fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was right there in front of you, right? There was no questioning it. Anyway, it was a great tour. But like I said, more than once we heard, my mom said, no, don't go here at night. So we did. We went out, though. I mean, we would try to go out before the sun went down and get to our destination. And we went to some really cool dive bar restaurant that was right by the blood place.
Cezano.
Yeah. That there ended up being this young gentleman crooner who was singing all these classic songs. And then there was this very unattractive drag queen who just sat there and proceeded to get more and more wasted throughout the night. And eventually performed and then came and sat at our table and basically just was like tips.
Talking at us.
Yeah. And yeah. just was like tips. And we're like, okay.
This was a drag queen that probably was in the shadow era of her career. Meaning
yeah.
she was not ascending.
She was going down the hill.
She was not ascending to a great career of promise because the attitude was very much she did not give a shit.
Yeah. It was crazy. Oh, and then remember, talk about the gross drink that you ordered. So a lot of these countries, there's Fernet and Coke, right? And so Farber had decided you can also get, there's Fernet that is like Menta. Mint.
Yeah, so to be clear, there are two types of Fernet. Mm-hmm. One is Fernet Branca, mm-hmm. and one is Fernet Menta.
Yes.
And the Menta one has a mild mint taste to it. Mm-hmm. More medicinal, but mint. Mm-hmm. And in Argentina, where we were introduced to the Fernet and Coke
concept.
Beverage, yes, mm-hmm. you can get either one of them. We had a great one, which was Fernet Menta with tonic water.
Yeah, it was very good.
So
you ordered that. I thought you did.
Different country. It's not Argentina. Mm-hmm. But I asked, I said, can I have a Fernet Menta and a tonic water? And
she looked at you like you had two heads. You should have known right then and there that it wasn't going to go well.
A few minutes later, she arrives with, it was basically mint schnapps. Like it was green.
It was bright green.
It was bright green, and it was mint liqueur of some sort. It was not Fernet. And
it's
a can of
mouthwash.
And a can of tonic water. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try and drink this. I asked for it, and I don't want to be rude and send this thing back. I gave it the old college try, sipped on a few of them, and
it's
I
disgusting.
Said, this is not what I want. So when she came back again, I said, can I have, you know, I changed my order.
She laughed at you.
She laughed at me.
Yeah, because she was like, why would you order this?
I changed my drink order.
Yep, that was
I went
hysterical.
With something more standard that there would be no miscommunication or language barrier.
Anyway, great evening. And, you know, as we were leaving, anywhere that we've been, most places that we've been, especially even New York back home, if you have to walk 15 minutes to get home, that's no big deal. You walk home. But here, I was like, we ain't walking that 15 minutes. And so anywhere we would go, we would get an Uber home after dark. B&D, we were safe. We took precautions. We did have one really amazing dinner. One evening before it got dark, we walked up the hill and got dinner at La Caperucita y El Lobo. Beautiful, stunning restaurant. The view was incredible. Food was great. Drinks were great. Probably the best meal, I'm going to say maybe that we...
In Chile?
In Chile?
Yeah, Chile not renowned for its culinary scene.
No, but this was really good. So anyway, fun city for a few days. In the height of summer too, there actually are beaches that you can go to that looked very, very nice, sandy. And I think people from all over flock to them, especially Santiago, when they want to cool down and escape the city. They come out to Valpo for just the day because it is only an hour, hour and a half bus ride. So easy enough to like go chill out on the beach for the day. So it wasn't warm enough for us to do that, but we had a great time. We love us a port town. And so, yeah, that's Valpo.
Let's take a quick break before we get into our time in Chile's capital city of Santiago.
All right, we are back. Address unknown, Chile edition. Finally, after flying in and out and busing to Valpo, we finally were coming back to actually spend some time in Santiago. Now, once again, this is a city that you do not want to go out after dark exploring. Mom says no applies here as well. But we had a hotel in a good neighborhood. It was very cute, very tree-lined block right along the river. So our first full day, guess what? We took a walking tour again. And so when you are traveling to other countries, be it Central America, South America, Mexico,
anywhere in the world,
yeah. Word of advice, look to see if there's any holidays happening, any saints' days, anything where, you know, for example, Santiago, when we were there, there was elections happening. Now, I don't know. We wouldn't have had the foresight to like Google this and figure it out. We saw signs all over when we were in Atacama. Obviously, when we were in Valpo, we didn't even really think anything of it. And then we got to Santiago and we're like, oh, it's happening now, which means that basically the day before the election, which in a lot of countries, elections happen on Sunday so that a lot of people can vote. Everything closes down. Everything closes down for sure, for the most part, on the day of the election and sometimes even the day after. So it makes it difficult to explore, go to museums, see things because most things are shut down.
We were highly surprised that for the election, the day before the election, everything was shut down.
Yeah.
Which is a Saturday. We arrived, I think, on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. Sunday was the election. Everything is shut down.
Yep.
And Monday, everything is shut down.
Yeah.
And we've seen this in other countries before where the day of the election, you can't buy alcohol. That's a big one. That's around the world. That's very common. Mm-hmm. And they really want to make it so that it's contingent that each and every citizen must vote. And they actually apply fines.
They have to vote.
They have to vote. It is not an option. And they apply fines if you do not vote. They make it so that you cannot apply for a passport. And if you do, you have to pay a large financial penalty. Like
if you didn't vote.
Like $300 or $500, which to a Chilean is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
So they make it so that
a lot of, to most people, that's a lot of money.
They make it so that like A, you're sober for like 3 days, and B, you vote. Otherwise, you're going to get hit hard with a fine. So we didn't know this. We've been paying attention to American holidays for the most part. We did not have the foresight to look into a governmental municipal election in Santiago.
No. So that happened. The walking tour, however, was still great. We still learned a lot. We saw a lot of buildings. But unfortunately, I think most of the places that the guide would have brought us into or had us experience were they were just closed. So it was a different experience, I think, than
view from the outside, I think, really.
We would have had. Yeah. So we didn't have a lot of time, though, in Santiago. I think like 3 nights total. But I think it was a very different experience than we would have had it not been the elections and so many things been shuttered for that.
And that's going to do it for our time in Chile. Short, sweet, questionably safe.
Oh, we stayed safe.
We stayed safe.
We were smart.
When we return, we'll discuss our loves and our learns of our time in this elongated country.
Okay, Farber, what, pray tell, is your love from Chile?
So, this isn't a steal. but I think we both liked the same place. It's not a steal. It's a compliment to...
Just so people know, here's what we kind of do is that our process is we make an outline of the episode. Usually I'll make the outline. Don't give me a bad face. You've done it like twice.
For your parts, I do my parts.
Well, no, I gave you the outline. So like I'll kind of pick like what we're each going
to
talk about.
We don't
about.
Need to go behind the curtain on this one, okay? Let's just not expose, let's not expose the Wizard of Oz. Let's just let it go. We don't need to disclose the entire secrets to the podcast. Jonica
anyway,
does more work.
One part is that I'll usually write out my love and learn first, and then Farber comes in and fills in his. And so now you know who actually put their love in first.
So my love of chili was Valparaiso.
And interesting.
The reason here, lots of history, a palette of colorful pastel painted housing, as it all appears sort of rising out of the ocean into the hills. Not the safest place. Don't worry, dear. I'm not going to steal your thunder on this one. But visually, nothing like any other place I think we've ever been. After a week there, I felt lucky to have not been robbed, scammed, or stabbed. That said, on our final day, I decided to go for a run along the waterfront where the port is. And this is like, when we say port, this is like a modern day port. So it's shipping containers and cranes and...
It's busy. It's a busy port.
Yeah, it's not like an old school port like that's, you know, from...
It's not like Marseille, where Marseille is now like yachts, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
this
that's
is
not
like
this.
Real working port still.
So this was a day when all the tragedies of Valparaiso became evident to me.
I'm so glad I wasn't with you. I would have lost my shit.
Along my run, which we're not talking a long distance here, probably 4 miles maximum along the waterfront here, I witnessed from a distance a man steal a woman's purse and quickly run off into the small laneways of the port while like people were chasing after him. I saw just to my right as I'm running a freshly decaying dog carcass. And when I had almost made it home, and I was like, Jonica won't even believe these stories, a homeless man jumped off of one of the city benches and tried to karate kick me mid-stride out of nowhere, just yelled and came kicking at me, jumping in the air. I will never forget this run. I feel like we escaped Valpo without scratches and bruises, but my ego and my mental state was a little fucked up after that run.
Oh my God. When you like told me all this, I was like, holy shit. Okay, I'm glad that I didn't try to go for a run along the beautiful waterfront. Okay, so what's your learn? Not to go running along waterfronts at port towns?
This is not a steal. I'm not gonna I would be very, very blatant, not a steal here. I don't think that we had a lot of time in this country. We kind of realized when we got to Argentina that South America is like, it's hard to conquer.
We have to go back.
Yeah, it's hard
we
to
conquer. We didn't do Patagonia at all.
Yeah, it's hard to conquer on wheels, right? Like each country within South America seems to be hard to conquer on wheels even. So in this case, Chile is long, it's thin, but it has very diverse offerings of natural beauty. And we only got to see a few places, like 3 places in the whole country. As you said, Santiago was a bust because of the elections. The city of Santiago is also in a pretty tumultuous political state at the moment because all the government buildings are these like really ornate, opulent buildings, but none of them are occupied. And all the government business now takes place in this new modern portion of town, which is where all the skyscrapers and the glass buildings are.
Well, it's not even that. Like, no businesses are there.
Like,
everyone left.
So as you're walking around on this guided tour, you see all the buildings, but you're sort of like, there's no one around. There's no business occurring down here. This is just like, it's sort of walking on a movie set. It's very strange. I would plan for more stops in the south and the north next time around. But yeah, you got to go back. And I think knowing now what we know, we would sort of understand you need to give yourself some time. That's the learn. Give yourself a little extra time. All right, my dear. And what is your love?
Well, you already kind of took it. So, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I still love a port town. I love it. I love the grit. I love the edge. I kind of love the like, am I going to be stabbed in the side? I loved so much. My mom says, do not go there. Like I said, that has never happened before. Never have we ever had a tour guide actually tell us that their city was dangerous. And I feel like we've been in some dangerous places.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is be safe, keep your wits about you. And Valpo was cool. Definitely worth a few days visit. But just don't be a dumbass gringo.
Okay, nice and curt. And what is your learn?
This is not the first time that I have said this, but driving in other countries is insane. Google says 45 minutes. It's going to take you an hour and 45 minutes because the roads are a nightmare. Don't go through holes that could swallow your entire car. Don't tip the Jimmy over. I don't think we even talked about this. Like, I literally almost tipped the Jimmy over because I was trying to avoid a huge pothole that definitely would have destroyed the Jimmy anyway. And Jimmy definitely tilted over and we almost went over the edge of a cliff. And that was very scary. That's the reason why, you know, my dream car, the Geo Tracker, was outlawed because they would tip over. Don't hit a llama as they run across the road. And, you know, just let that crazy person behind you pass you with less than 5 safety seconds before the other car comes. It's insane. It's also fun. But every time I get out of the car in another country, I'm so, knock on wood, happy that I haven't had an accident. I haven't popped a tire. I haven't destroyed the car in some way, shape, or form. And we're both safe.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We have more rental cars coming our way.
That's why I knocked on wood. Down there, there's wood everywhere.
So I think that will then do it for us here in episode 29 of Address Unknown. We are trying to catch up, guys. Please be patient.
Yeah, we're currently in Colombia, but we have a couple of episodes to go before we actually get to Colombia.
That's right. Next, we hit the country of Peru.
Yes.
We do Machu Picchu. We do Cusco. Those are going to be some good stories. We then get into Ecuador. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. And yeah, and as
then
you said,
finally here to Colombia.
Colombia. Mm-hmm. Guys, we are working our way back up north. We are eventually going to be crossing that border at one point. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in episode 30.
Bye.